We look now to God's Word as we have it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. And I want to say a few words this evening on what we have in verses 17 through to 20. Matthew 5, and looking at verses 17 through to 20. There's a lady I remember Jennifer telling me about, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody that used to come to our toddler group, maybe she still does come, and she would go on cruises from time to time. And I think it was Thomas Cook cruises that she would go on, or if it wasn't her that was going, she knew of someone else that would go on these cruises. My memory is a wee bit vague, but I remember the bit that I need for my sermon. She would never pay the full price. She was someone who was available to go last minute on those cruises. And if you're available to go last minute, you can get a very, very, very reduced rate. And you can imagine how annoying it would be for other people on the cruise who would be sitting down feasting along with this lady. And they find that she's paid maybe less than a quarter of the price that they have paid. They booked the thing away in advance to make sure that they had it all sorted and that it was there and it was paid for. And then they find there's somebody who got exactly the same holiday and paid far, far, far less for it. I wonder if you're the kind of person that whenever you buy something, you will keep checking for a month afterwards to see if that thing has come down in price. I pity people like that. Well, I wonder, does God ever have any special reduced rates? Is there anyone who will ever get into heaven at a different cost from what anyone else gets into heaven on? Will there be people comparing in heaven what it cost? And some people unhappy because it costs a lot less for someone else than it cost for them. Well, I think God's Word assures us that that's not something that will be the case. As we look at these verses here in Matthew 5, I want to say, first of all, from these verses, that they teach us that Jesus didn't come into this world to lower God's standards. That's the way some people understand the message of the Bible. They have an idea. They may not put it into words themselves, but they do have this idea that in the Old Testament you have a story of God giving his laws to his people. Lots of laws, lots of rules, God telling his people what he wants from them. But the people find it too hard to keep those laws of God. And so God comes up instead with a different idea. And he sends his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross. He does that in order to show the greatness of his love. Although that's a strange concept, if that's all there is to it. And now all that God asks of people is something very simple and straightforward. He no longer asks us to keep a lot of rules and laws. All we need to do now is to believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me. And if you believe that, then that sorts everything out and all is well forever. It's a much easier way. It's much, much less demanding. But that is a false gospel. It would be nice to believe that that's true. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. Everything's sorted and it doesn't matter what you do from that moment on. That one moment sorts everything. Nothing else matters at all. The Bible tells us that we can be saved in a moment, but everything else matters. Everything else matters. And Jesus Christ did not come into this world to lower the standards of God. Jesus did not come to make it easier for us to get into heaven. Jesus did not come into this world in order to do away with God's commandments as if they don't matter anymore. See what Jesus says in verse 17. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus did not come into this world to teach that all of this Old Testament stuff, that all of this really doesn't matter at all anymore, that we can forget about all of that, that we don't need to bother with anything that's in the Old Testament because everything has changed now. God has changed the rules. That's not the ministry of Christ. Jesus says, don't think that. Don't for a moment think that I am saying one thing, whereas the law and the prophets were saying something different. If you read on in Matthew chapter 5 and further within this sermon of Jesus, you'll see that Jesus is teaching the commandments of God. He teaches here about murder from verse 21 onwards. He teaches about adultery. He teaches about marriage and divorce. And each time he teaches on these subjects, he's not relaxing the law of God. He's not saying God's law used to say this, but now it's much easier. That's not what he is doing. But rather, he is showing that there's a whole depth of understanding of what the law of God is all about that people hadn't really thought about. They were just looking at the external obedience to the law, and they weren't thinking about the obedience of the heart. And so when Jesus speaks about adultery, he says it's not just a physical thing. He says that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has committed adultery with her in his heart. No, Jesus isn't saying this used to be forbidden, but Jesus has sorted all of that. Now it's okay. It doesn't really matter. He isn't saying anything like that at all. He is rather showing that adultery is something that is a far greater problem than many had actually acknowledged. And Jesus then says in Matthew 5, verse 18, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." Till heaven and earth pass away. Not the slightest little bit of any letter will be taken away from the law of God. Jesus doesn't say, "Listen, folks, this law of God has been really challenging. It's been really demanding. But if you just hold on for a couple of years, this will all be sorted. Because I'm going to die, and the law will become totally irrelevant, and you'll not have to worry about that anymore." Jesus says that's not going to happen. He says, until heaven and earth disappear, there will be nothing that will be taken away from the law of God. So God is never going to relax his standards so that more people can enter his club. God does not work that way. If God did that, his club would not be worth joining. And Jesus did not come to relax the entry standards into the kingdom of God. The effect of the teaching of the Lord Jesus was not to leave people feeling complacent and thinking they were measuring up fine to what God required, but rather it was the opposite. It left people realizing that where they thought they were obeying the law, they weren't obeying it at all. So Jesus did not come to lower God's standards. And Jesus says, don't think that I've come to do away with the law or the prophets. That's not what I am about. Second thing I want you to see from these verses is that Jesus is teaching us that mere human effort isn't enough. These words speak to us about the value of our human efforts to keep God's rules, God's laws, God's commands. And Jesus talks about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he talks about those who teach the law of God. And he warns of the danger of people watering down the law of God. But Jesus speaks about the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. The Jews had a saying that if there were only two people who would get into heaven, one would be a Pharisee and the other would be a scribe. The scribes were the people who were perceived to know the most about God's law. It was their job to study the law. They were the teachers of the law. They were the experts in the law of God. And the Pharisees were viewed as being those who were the most strict among the Jews in the keeping of the law. And they tried very hard to do everything that the law required, right down to the very last detail. They were scrupulous about their law keeping. And what a shock it must have been when Jesus then said what he says in verse 20, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Those would have been devastating words to ordinary religious people who would have heard Jesus speaking. And they're thinking, for someone to equal the righteousness of the scribes or the Pharisees, that would have been seen as an amazing achievement. And that would have been a person who would have been highly regarded and highly respected. They would have been seen as someone who had really, really done well. But Jesus says such a person wouldn't even make it into the kingdom of heaven if they only equal the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And those words of Jesus were meant to be challenging words to religious people. And they are still challenging words to church-going people today. We need to see clearly what Jesus is saying here in these words. There was no one who was trying harder to keep God's laws than the Pharisees did. And yet Jesus says that's not enough. The Pharisees could compare themselves with others and they could see, well, we are doing so much more to keep God's law than other people are doing. But Jesus says it's not enough. And we could congratulate ourselves on how our lives measure up to the lives of other people today. But that doesn't mean that we're doing what God wants. The righteousness of the Pharisees was a righteousness that was only skin deep. Jesus knew the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. On the surface of things, they seemed to be doing well, and they were good at projecting themselves as those who were doing well. They liked to show themselves to be righteous. But Jesus was well able to see below the surface, and he could see that the attitude of their hearts was very different from what they were seeking to portray outwardly. They may have been saying what were perceived as the right things. They may have been doing what was perceived to be the right things, but they didn't do those things out of love for God. The Pharisees didn't love the law of the Lord. It was to them a burden. And they sought to keep God's law because it made them feel better about themselves. And the more they could see themselves as law keepers, the more pride they had within their hearts. It wasn't the case that they loved God more and more, but they loved themselves and their achievements more and more. They loved what they were. They delighted in seeing themselves as law keepers, whereas other people were law breakers. The Pharisees trusted in their own obedience. Their hope of going to heaven was entirely based on their record of conforming to God's law. And that was never what God intended when he gave his law. When God gave his law in the days of Moses, it wasn't given to show the Israelites that they were wonderful, God-honoring, law-observing people. It was to show them they were sinners. And that is still the purpose of God's law. And we will never, by our own human efforts, be able to keep the law of God. Today there are still Pharisees around. They don't go by the name of Pharisees, but they have the same mindset. And everyone today who thinks they're doing a really good job at obeying God, everyone who thinks they've chalked up enough credit to get themselves into heaven, they're in exactly the same boat as the Pharisees. They don't need a Savior, they save themselves. The Apostle Paul in Romans 3, verse 20, says that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law, but rather through the law we become conscious of sin. God's law was always given in order to show us our sin. Human effort is not enough to make us right with God. Our own righteousness will never do. We need a greater righteousness, and the righteousness we need is that of the Lord Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus was altogether different from the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. His righteousness was genuine. It was deep. He loved God, and he kept God's law. And he did that consistently. And Jesus Christ was declared righteous on the basis of keeping God's law, and no one else is. We need a righteousness greater than that of the scribes and Pharisees, and we will only find it in Jesus Christ. That's where we need to look for the righteousness that we need. The Pharisees were so self-congratulating that they weren't looking for a Savior. So these words of Jesus, they teach us that mere human effort isn't enough. But these words also speak to us about our own response to the Word of God. And these words challenge us to see that where there is no effort to keep God's law, there can be no heaven. Many people will delight in those things that I've been saying about the needing the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We know that to be true. We know that we won't get to heaven by trying to be a good person. But there is another danger that is faced by those who recognize that it is the righteousness of Christ that we need. And the danger is that we conclude that because Jesus has earned us our place in heaven, therefore it doesn't much matter what we make of God's law, and it doesn't much matter at all how we live. And it's easy in this day of watered-down Christianity to swallow that kind of myth. There are many people who have heard some kind of gospel message who are walking around in our society and they believe that they will go to heaven. And they believe they will go to heaven because they believe that Jesus Christ died for them. And as far as they're concerned, that's all that you need. You just need to believe that Jesus died for you. If you do that, you've got your ticket. And that's you sorted. And what happens beyond that doesn't matter. If you've got your ticket, you're in. All is well. And whether it is ever made any difference to the way they live their lives, that doesn't matter as far as they're concerned. Someone told them, pray this prayer, and that's you sorted. That's all you need. And those people are deceived. People who are living Christless lives, people who are not by any stretch of the imagination, disciples of Jesus Christ. Although they might have this belief in their head that Jesus died for sinners, and if he died for me, then I'm sorted, if their life shows that they're not followers of Christ, well, that they have no right to think that they have a place in heaven. Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And those words are not just a challenge to us to see that I need the righteousness of Christ, but they're also a challenge to us to see that if I really am a follower of Christ, then my life should be more Christ-like than the Pharisees and the scribes were in the days of Jesus. Jesus is not saying, doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter how you live, as long as you have faith. That's not what Christ teaches. Jesus says, if in your life you don't show a greater personal righteousness than the scribes and the Pharisees, then you have no place in the kingdom of heaven. We are not saved by our own righteousness. We are saved by the righteousness of Christ. But if we have been saved, then our lives will show it. It will be seen in the way that we live. If God gives us a new heart, the new heart will express itself in acts of obedience. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. Our righteousness has to be greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And for a person who has never had that change of life, then there's no reason for them to think that all is well. The person with the un-Christ-like life, for them, nothing is well. They may attend worship, but if their life has not been changed, then they haven't got what is necessary. Surely there must be more to being a Christian than just thinking in your head that Jesus died for my sins. The Pharisees were far more religious than that. And Jesus says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter. You will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So these words are meant to challenge us as to whether we have an actual righteousness that is seen. No one can see the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to us, but people can see whether we live in accordance with God's law. And so we need to consider, is there anything that marks us out as being different? The Pharisees were seen as different in their day. They were different from other people, but it wasn't enough. But those who have the righteousness of Christ, we should be seen as different from those who don't have that righteousness. What marks us out as different? Different from other religious people who are not really looking to Jesus Christ at all. In what way does our righteousness exceed their righteousness? If your answer is that I don't try as hard as they do to earn my place in heaven, do you not see there must be something terribly wrong there? If the people that aren't saved are working harder to get to heaven, then the people who are saved are working to show their love for God, then there's something badly wrong there. If God has really changed our hearts, then we will love him more and more. And we will want to try all the harder to please him. We will see him as our Father in heaven, and we will want to do everything we can to honor him. Self-deception is a very real danger among people who know something about the Bible, something about the gospel. If we're not 100% serious about doing all that we can to serve and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, well then all our talk about faith is nonsense. If we really believe that Jesus Christ died for us, we'll be willing to do anything that he says. And his laws will not be something that we'll walk away from and say, well, that was for other people, not for me. Those will be the ways that we will want to go. And it will hurt us in our hearts when we know that we've broken his laws again. So Jesus is speaking to us about himself and about God's law and about what is required. And there will be no one who gets into heaven at a reduced rate. There'll be no one in heaven who's got there on a different basis from someone else. The entry fee is one that none of us can afford. It is way, way beyond what any of us could ever manage. It's beyond our reach. Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has paid it in full. And those who will be with Christ forever will be eternally grateful that he is the one who kept the law for us. But in this life, because he has done that for us, nothing that he asks us to do for him will ever be too much bother. Our righteousness is to be greater than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. We are to be more zealous for the law of God, zealous for the honor of God. We are to be those who seek to keep that law of God, because that's what our Father wants from us. The Pharisees weren't lovers of God. They were lovers of themselves. And lovers of themselves will not be in the kingdom of heaven, but those who love the Lord will be. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And that's what Christ is saying here in these words. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. My commandments will matter to you. You'll not be able to walk away from them. You'll not be able to say that doesn't matter. You'll not be able to say that this has all been done away with. You will know that this is the will of God. And when we love him, we will strive to obey what the Lord brings before us. Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And we are to honor that law of Christ. The law that was good enough for him is good enough for us. And the law that he lived by is the law that we are to live by also, even as we look to him as a Savior who kept the law for us. Amen.